Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Mega Cable conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Please note this call is being recorded. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn it over to Maria Barona of iAdvize Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to Megacable's first quarter conference call. I'm Maria Barona with iAdvize Corporate Communications, and today I'm pleased to introduce Megacable's management team. Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, CEO, Mr. Raymundo Fernández, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Luis Zetter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. They will be discussing the results prior to the question-and-answer session. Please note that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results. These are subject to various conditions. A complete disclaimer can be reviewed on the financial earnings report that was issued yesterday. Please contact us if you did not receive the information at 212-406-3691. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni to begin his presentation. Please go ahead, Mr. Yamuni.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to welcome you today to our 2017 first quarter conference call. If you recall, in our last conference, we discussed the strong ending for 2016, despite the challenging market environment. Now, nearly 4 months into the year, we present once again strong results. Things are progressing, and we look forward to sharing with you an update on the company's performance for the first quarter of 2017. Megacable kicked off the year with solid margins, increasing revenue both in the massive and corporate segments, while presenting a much better financial structure. In the massive market, Megacable continues to focus on growing its broadband as well as telephony, and it expands its portfolio with better packages and new products at more competitive prices. Despite economic slowdown that we have been experiencing and more aggressive competition in the video segment, we keep a very stable customer base focused on better quality subscribers and more profitably from them. We're looking to continue to grow our RGUs, not only as a market trend, but even higher than market growth. We believe that one of the main strategies we can employ in order to properly face competition is technology and the ability to quickly create new and better products. Thus, we continue developing the main projects, including XView with video on demand with interactivity and also increased internet speeds, which have worked in our favor in terms of generating more appealing products and packages. Our ability to stay one step ahead and move quickly gives us advantages over other providers. Always focused on operational efficiency and customer service, as a result, delivering excellent numbers to our shareholders. Corporate segment is an important part of our strategy to create new revenue streams. Megacable is focused in consolidating as one of the largest players in this market. Metro Carrier is expanding its presence in Monterrey, Cancun, Mexico City, and other locations, partnering with Ola to maximize presence and revenues in those markets. Megacable continues its strategic investment in CapEx. The 20% to revenue ratio is in line with our plan for this first quarter. We estimate to finish the year around 27% without sacrificing strategic investments due to negotiations with main technology partners. Our aim is to continue to invest heavily towards raising bandwidth in order to provide the subscriber with the best experience available in the market. On another note, I want to mention that Megacable provides jobs to over 16,000 direct employees. It is a commitment on our part to strengthen our corporate social responsibility practices as well as being a better place to work. We're also committed to maintain our goal of being the best and most profitable telecommunications company in Mexico. In order to achieve this leadership, we know that our strategy must continue to focus on improving service, creating innovative and high-quality products, a top technology platform, providing excellent content, meeting the needs of our customers with products and services that are of great value. Finally, I am pleased to announce that at the general ordinary shareholders meeting, a dividend payment was approved at the recommendation of the board of directors. The amount will be 1,391 million pesos, representing 20% of 2016 EBITDA. This is higher than the figure stipulated in the dividend policy of the company. The payment will be in one installment in May of 2017. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Raimundo and Luis so that they may provide us with additional details regarding the company's operating and financial results. Raimundo, please proceed.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. We appreciate your continued interest in Megacable. In terms of the massive market operating results, I want to highlight that internet continues to be our strongest product. This quarter, we increased 76,000 new adds for the quarter and a total of 379,000 new adds year-over-year. This represents a 3% increase for the quarter and 20% growth for the last 12 months. Moreover, in our constant search for new and unique ways of having customers enjoy the always-on experience, we have substantially expanded our public Wi-Fi presence. We expect to conclude 2017 with 150% growth in the public Wi-Fi footprint to more than 6,800 public Wi-Fis, without considering all our additional sites through roaming agreements. In terms of telephony, we continue to increase our market share, even in a contracted market, with 23,000 net adds in the quarter and 288,000 subscribers year-over-year for a growth of 2% and 32% respectively. Our strategy to bundle telephony with internet and providing unlimited local, cellular, and long-distance calls is being very successful. In terms of video, we experienced a decline of 2% in our subscriber base. The reason is a more restrictive sales policy and retention strategy, as well as the economic slowdown that affects some of our regions. It is worth highlighting that Megacable video market share and its penetration are the highest of our three business lines, therefore being the most affected by the economy and competition. We have taken preventive measures that will give us positive net adds in the months to come. This includes adjusting our product offer, using more selective and more targeted marketing campaigns to attract new users. Our sales policy focus in less promotional, more selective areas and regions with higher potential and less affected by the economic slowdown. In addition to our sales strategy, we continue to strengthen our focus on customer retention, keeping the clients we already have. Our retention strategy was adjusted to focusing customers that want our product and can afford to pay for it. New packages were designed and aimed to customers that meet this criteria. Therefore, churn went down for the quarter, but still need to improve to help us recover subscriber growth. The trend shown at the end of the quarter gave us confidence that we are on the right track. Therefore, the operation of the company is in line with our goal of more subscribers, RGUs, better ARPUs, and customer service and efficiency. Business service is an important part of our strategy for achieving new revenue streams and position ourselves solidly in a more profitable market. We have been working hard on different front ends in this arena. This has been achieved through great synergies between ho1a, MetroCarrier, and MCM. Revenues from the corporate segment increased 11% compared to first quarter 2016, achieving an 18% share of the company's total revenues. The decrease in ho1a's revenues is due to the successful conclusion of the CFE project. Removing this effect, we have a 40% growth. MetroCarrier and MCM continue with constant increases in revenue of 42% and 18% year-over-year respectively. MetroCarrier alliance with ho1a is gaining important traction in the sharing the business and government segments by providing managed services and state-of-the-art products. Thus, we're proud to announce that we continue to expand our corporate operations to new markets. During this quarter, we grew the offices of Mexico City, also opened in Monterrey and Cancun, with the goal of offering complete communication solutions, including telephony and internet, that is specifically tailored for large corporation needs. The strategy is very clear. We have more than 20,000 kilometers of interurban fiber and more than 54,000 kilometers of last mile, either coaxial or fiber. Therefore, we are using all our existing infrastructure to maximize revenue at the lowest capex. In Mexico City, we just finished integrating MCN, Megacable, and Metro Carrier networks in parts of the metropolitan areas that used to serve only residential subscribers. In Monterrey, we have our core backbone passing traffic through the city, so build a metro ring is a very efficient way to optimize and open new markets. Our core and transport network will continue to be expanded to other markets where Megacable has already telecom presence through the GTAC network. Luis will review the OPEX and CAPEX results, but I would like to emphasize our selective marketing strategy also brings less labor, commissions, material drop, and acquisition costs. The cost of programming also represented an important decision since we replaced expensive channels for new good quality and more cost-efficient ones. Again, we will continue to provide the steady growth in the massive and very important increase in revenues on the corporate, also towards being leaders in the telecommunication, our industry. Go ahead, Luis.
Thank you, Raimundo. I would like to go through Megacable's financial results for the first quarter 2017, and right after that, we will be happy to take your questions. Revenue growth was 6% in the first quarter to reach 4,290 million pesos. On a per segment basis, video contributed 43% of revenues, internet 28%, telephony 10%, and corporate 18%. On the MAPIC market, video revenues decreased 4% comparing first quarter 17 versus first quarter 16 due to subscriber loss and the package discount for packaging the new RGUs that came from the extraordinary growth internet and telephony had. Broadband and telephony revenues grew a healthy 13 and 23% respectively. In the meantime, enterprise grew 11% in the same period. Despite the volatile foreign exchange rate, huge gasoline, gas, and electricity cost increase during the first quarter that affected not only our subscribers' wallets, but also our direct operating expenses, Megacable came out strong in financial results due to a disciplined and a strategic vision. Cost of services remained in line with first quarter 16, mainly due to the savings coming from the changes in programming executed last year. Operating and general expenses increased 13%, primarily due to the increase in the rates in utilities, as mentioned before. Most of the operating costs and expenses are well in line with increase in RGUs. Consolidated EBITDA grew 6% in the first quarter 2017 compared to the same period in 2016, reaching 1,872 million pesos for an EBITDA margin of 43.6, while adjusted EBITDA for cable operations rose 5% in the same period to total 1,754 million pesos, reaching a margin over cable revenues of 46.8, still one of the best in the industry. Net income in first quarter 2017 totaled 1,057 million pesos, 4% growth compared to the same period in 2016, mainly due to the increase in depreciation coming from the capex acquired during the previous year. Megacable's net debt reached 741 million pesos, mainly to the conclusion of the CFE project and the payment of the loan associated to it. This positions Megacable at a ratio of 0.10 times EBITDA, which remains one of the lowest leverage levels in the industry. At the same time, EBITDA to interest coverage was 33 times at the end of the period. Concerning CapEx, during the first quarter, Megacable invested 849 million pesos. Most of these resources were allocated towards the improvement and modernization of our cable network and the purchase of fixed assets during the quarter. As Enrique mentioned, this represents around 20% of our full-year forecast. This behavior is similar to the progress we have in first quarter of previous years, and we expect to fulfill our 27% to revenues ratio without sacrificing investments in our key technological areas due to negotiations with key vendors. On a final note, we have also reported our 2016 audited financial statements, where due to IFRS adjustment, EBITDA improved 42 million pesos and net income improved 232 million pesos. For more detail, please look at the information we posted in Megacables and Bolsa Mexicana de Valores webpage. That concludes our presentation. We will be now happy to take your questions. Operator, please begin the Q&A session.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that's star and one to ask a question. We'll go ahead and take our first question from Andre Baggio with JP Morgan. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. How comfortable you feel with your earlier guidance, which provided a strong growth in both of video subscribers and revenues and EBITDA for the year?
Andre, can you elaborate a little bit more on the question, please?
I'm going to try again. So in light of these numbers, if you're hearing me well, how comfortable you feel with the guidance for the full year, which implies a stronger acceleration versus the results posted today or yesterday?
Okay, yes, Andre, this is Raimundo. Well, as you know, we are on track with what we report in terms of broadband and telephony. During this quarter, as I mentioned, we have to do a change in our strategy on the video segment that is gonna affect our projection for the year. The projection was without considering some factors that are affecting us right now. So we might not meet the goal in terms of video net adds on that part. We will have to go lower to what we have right now. We're looking pretty much in the terms of the 5% growth in video for the year, approximately for the year, in that part. And for me it's more important what we discussed in the conference regarding the capacity that we have to recover the video growth on that part and meet that 5% probably on that 5% for the year. As we said, we had to change and be more restrictive in credit. The promotions that we have on the sales part were not giving us the quality of sales that we needed on subscribers. So we adjust sales in that part. We adjust also in areas where we detect that the subscribers were migrating from one company to the other one and was not productive for anybody, just causing commissions and not growing the subscriber base. So we did that. We also adjust the product offer, so we can have a better subscriber in time. But that makes us have a less net add for the period. You know, on the churn, we did took also a much more aggressive retention strategy. That's considering in the slowdown of the 3.8 to 3.4% churn for the quarter. So the trend is positive. We still believe that it's going to be better in the future. And what we also see is taking a deep look into subscribers that does not want the product, that can afford to pay, and doesn't make sense to go and look for them and not providing any value to the company. So we're very confident that the trend that we saw and we see right now with better quality of sales and a slowdown in churn will make us meet that 5%, let's call it that way, guidance for the video in 2017 for the video subscribers. I don't know if that answered the question, Andre.
Yeah, that helped, for sure. And if I may, a second question. Are you doing anything to prevent, like, say, a loss of competitiveness? I saw that there's some recent news that a very popular team in Guadalajara, Chivas, decided to sign with an exclusive contract with Televisa. Is this an issue for you? Like, say, now you don't have some extra Televisa channels and you may not have this access to football content. How are we going to react to this kind of possible disadvantage at the programming site?
That's a good point. Yes, Televisa did get the rights for Chivas on a pay TV basis. Chivas remain the right to sell over-the-top pay-per-view through the Chivas TV production they have. We have to recall that Chivas was not seen in Guadalajara a year ago and was also exclusive from other pay TV providers or MSOs, not MSOs because Sky has that product in the metropolitan area at that time. And we managed to grow video on that part. Why? Because we have the right bundle between internet, telephony, and the video channel. What we also have done since we took away the Televisa channels was to improve the content of all the different tierings that we have in our offer. I can tell you right now that, for example, the low-end subscribers that last year did not watch ESPN, for example, now they can watch ESPN with the champions and all the products that ESPN has. And that's included in what you see in our numbers. So we reinforce sports through this channel without considering that we have all the Fox Sports and all the ESPN channels. The only thing we don't have right now is Chivas, but Chivas is over the internet. So that's how we are approaching this kind of move that can be done in the market. But this will always be. We also, for example, got the Formula Uno, the F1 channel, that all our subscribers have. Last year, they were able to watch 9 live races and not the full seasons. The other 9 were delayed. Now all our subscribers can watch the full Formula One through the year live without any delays. Also, they can watch the delays, and they can watch that also on an on-demand basis after the race was done. And as I mentioned, ESPN and Fox Sports. So we have all the baseball, the summer season of the baseball, and the winter season in Mexico plus the Major League Baseball. So the only thing we don't have is Chivas. Nobody in that part, most of the people here in Guadalajara are used to go on a Saturday night to watch the game on a restaurant or in a public place for the last 4 or 5 years. So it's not new for us.
Okay, thanks a lot.
And we'll take our next question from Sumit Datta with New Street Research. Your line is open.
Hi there. Yeah, just back to the TV question. And sorry, you broke up on my line partly during the last answer, so I apologize if I ask something that you mentioned. I just wanted to, if you look at the overall market for TV in this quarter, and we've had Televisa's TV subscriber base falling, same at Sky Mexico, same at Mega Cable, similar story for Q4. So 2 quarters now, really, the TV market has declined in Mexico, and I understand that partly that is going to be a function of the economy, but I wondered if you felt that we were beginning to see some of the some structural impact coming into the market, be it the very beginning of some cord cutting, the impact of Netflix, etc. Or would you say it's really just 100% an economic issue? Thank you.
Thank you. That's an interesting question too. Yes, we saw also a decline in Televisa net adds and a slowdown, significant slowdown in Sky. What I can tell you is that we have a good market share on the pay TV market in a market where 2016 was a very special one, because we have a significant growth at the end of 2015 and beginning of 2016, which was the analog shutdown. When that happened, all the pay TV companies will grow exponential, you know, but some of those subscribers that came to all the companies cannot afford to pay or did not want the product in that at that time. Our strategy in that market that we feel that still can have some space to grow, our strategy is to collect subscribers from those new areas as population continue to grow, and to bring people from other companies that does not bundle the product correctly. Also, we have our Megacable Play, which is an over-the-top app that provides the subscribers with all our linear content in the different devices. And we're upgrading the platform, both in video and mobile devices, to the new XView that hopefully we can launch that in the next 2 or 3 weeks, finally. We are giving the final adjustments to have the best product that can be done in the market. So subscribers can have broadband, Wi-Fi, telephony, and video, not only on TV, but in multiple platforms, with the best price for a country and an economy that, as you know, is slowing down. So the U.S. is different in that way. In that part, we believe that the customers, the 6 million or whatever over the top subscribers that are in Mexico so far, some of them might be paying, most of them might not be paying. We know Netflix report around 4 million over the top subs in that part. The rest are coming from bundling free packages to existing broadband or pay TV subscribers from the other two companies that have that. We have not seen in the mid to upper economic levels any slowdown in video, any cord cutting. And that's where those over the tops are so far. Our product is aimed to have lower economic levels in the future and to be able to provide a good new experience for the subscribers. Our product with video comes from the lower economic levels. Okay. That's where we have the churn, not on the mid to upper economic levels. And that's from all the market surveys that we do. They tell us that we have a hit from the economy where we are selling, you know, very aggressive, and that model has to change. And we did that. We changed that, and we restricted credit conditions to get into the company. So we start experiencing that the sales that we do in February, March, and April has a better retention than the sales that we used to have in October, November, and December or January of this year. So we feel we have a good product mix looking into the future, and we have a good strategy to defend our company in that part.
Okay, that's very, very clear. Thanks. And a quick follow-up, maybe a difficult one to answer. But so this, it sounds like a blip in the pay TV penetration levels. Would you expect the overall market to return to growth in Q2 or Q3?
Well, the market it depends on each company's strategy. I can tell you that we are on the right track. Hopefully we will be able to do it. Because we see a positive trend. I don't know whether that's going to be in the second quarter or the third quarter, but I'm pretty sure it will be this year. That's why we are looking into around 5%, still 5% subscribers for the end of the year. Hopefully, we can meet that goal.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Carlos Legarreta with GBM. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for the questions. The first one is regarding CapEx. So the figure that I'm seeing on your cash flow statement is significantly higher than that reported. I mean, the purchase of property, plant, and equipment is close to $2 billion on the cash flow statement, and you're reporting a lower figure. So I'm just wondering what is the nature of that. And the second question will be regarding the XView service. And I read online that you guys have, or have by November, around 18,000 subscribers. And I'm wondering how that's moving, what's the evolution there, and what we could expect from that service. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. I don't know, Luis, if you got the first question correctly regarding the CapEx, because it sounds a little bit cut off the call.
Yeah, Carlos, just to be sure, the question you're asking is between the cash flow investment and the CapEx reported. Is that is that the gap you're asking for?
Yeah, correct.
Right. Basically, it is because the auditors under IFRS request us to reclassify some of the inventory to the final end of life of that equipment. So a lot of what we have in inventory is going to end as CapEx. So that's the difference, because it's still on the inventory and has not been sold. We consider that as an inventory for CapEx purposes, because it's not installed. And in terms of the cash flow, you see that as if it was used. So basically, that's the gap. And this quarter, it is a large amount, maybe the largest in 2 years.
Right. So the figure the guidance for this year of $240 million, that would be using let's say the numbers reported by the press release, not otherwise.
I think we're going to meet that number. The figures for the CapEx that we established is still on our horizon. So yeah.
Okay. And Carlos, the second question regarding the, let me explain you, what we have since the end of 2014 or 2015, if I can recall, I'm not so sure. I think was at the beginning of 2015, we launched an over-the-top, very limited user interface to provide some content to our subscribers. And that's, we bundle that with the upper video packages. Let's say whoever has premium and HD will have access to the what we call the Mega Cable Play. What we are doing now is, now that we have most of the content rights, and also we acquire non-linear content for this year, we have a much more better user interface across the multi-platforms. So we expect the XView to be a complete different experience. So those 18,000 will be improving into the future as long as we continue to launch the XView. 2017 will be a position year for the product, and we expect to peak on the use by 2018.
And we'll go ahead and take our next question from Martin Lara with Interacciones. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. You had a big sequential increase in the churn rate of the telephone business. So I was wondering if you could please explain us what happened there, and also if you could provide your expectations for the rest of the year.
Yes, Martin. Well, the expectation for the rest of the year, we keep our guidance on that part. We believe that our strategy for video is the right one to do in that part. Regarding the Regarding the churn of telephony that we say, our strategy was very clear in the past. We have an increase in telephony since the second quarter of 2016. And that's because we put more value in the broadband product. And of course, video with the content are the most more valuable products. And telephony is bundled at a lower cost. So people, since it's the less needed product of the three, you know, we, with a lower cost to produce and to provide, we're decreasing the cost of telephony. We raise the product to unlimited local cell and long distance calls, you know, and by the right bundle, people are beginning to keep fixed telephony in a constrained market. So that's pretty much what we feel on that part. And Luis, you have another comment on that.
Well,
part.
Yes, we estimate the churn on telephony will be around 5.5%. That's what we have estimated in the figures.
You said 4.5%?
5.5.
Okay. And with respect to the guidance in internet and telephony, you're saying you're keeping that guidance, right?
Yeah.
Yes, well.
In terms of subscriber growth, I mean.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin.
And we'll go ahead and take our next question from Andres Coello with Scotiabank. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. I think you already addressed the issue of cost-cutting, but I was wondering if you have any opinion about the expansion of Star TV into 19 Mexican states. It seems that this satellite player is offering cheap prices, $149 per month, and it seems they're focused on low-income areas. So I was wondering if the disconnections that you're talking about in the low-end segment perhaps have something to do with the expansion of this satellite option. And the second question is on accounting. We have IFRS 15 coming on January 1. And I understand that it is perhaps one of the biggest accounting changes in recent history. So it's going to be very significant in terms of the recognition of revenues from contracts. So I was wondering if you I read your annual report. It is there that you are not giving an opinion on IFRS 15, but perhaps you can give us any color on how if that's going to impact EBITDA or EBITDA margin as you have to recognize your revenue streams differently.
Okay, Andres, thank you. Regarding Star TV, we know the launch of Star TV in those 19 markets. We have a strong competition coming from Sky and from Dish. We don't see any price of those. They also have low-end packages too. We have our low-end package bundled with broadband, very low-end to segmented areas. The churn that we have, the churn that goes from one part and the other one, but not to Star TV. We're more focused into a I don't want to say serious, to a robust offer coming from Sky or from Dish on that part, which our main competitors by far. Total Play is also part of our competitors in the upper segment. We have and we design new product offering to came to that new market. We launch a product that has a lower speed and less channels so we can go back and retain those subscribers in the lower economic levels and keep them in our base. So
what is the price of that new product? Excuse me, the price of that new product?
That price changes from 349 to 449 pesos.
Okay. The
lowest, 349 to 449 pesos.
Mm-hmm.
That's bundling different services. So we are not lowering ARPUs in that part, which is something that we like to see. What we are doing is everything will come bundled. So the RGUs per unique subscriber will continue to grow in that part. We have 196. All our new subscribers will come from that part. And for example, if before we used to have a customer coming from 250 or 300 pesos just for video, you know, we managed to renegotiate and to be efficient in CapEx and bandwidth and provide for 349 a higher output for that low-end subscriber by giving more product. That's our strategy. Without wanting me to say more about that, but that's what we're doing. And I think it's going to work very fine on that part. And Luis, regarding the accounting change and the recognition of revenue.
Right. Thank you. And basically here, the situation that we have is that Megacable has been always conservative in terms of revenue recognition. We have not seen so far any large impact on how we recognize revenues. Basically, it's breaking down the contract in the different components that could be separated in terms of effort to be completed by our side. And the pending effort is what will, you know, really guide what can be recognized or not. And you cannot recognize something if there is something pending from your side. So basically that is what the change in AFRS is establishing. And to the way we recognize today, there's really a little or maybe no change in the way we're recognizing. Of course, any new large contract that we are going to review, we have to have this new IFRS rule in consideration. But so far, we have seen there's not a really large impact.
And
Excuse me, sorry for interrupting. So just to be clear, the setup box that you give customers, you're not giving that for free, because I think that that's one of the biggest issues with the telecom industry and IFRS 15, that if you give something out for free, in reality it's not free, and you're actually selling that to the customer, and you should be recognizing more equipment revenues and lower service revenues. So what you're telling me is that setup boxes for cable may not, you know, fit into that definition.
Because we collect rent for monthly use, so that's the effort there is because the equipment is ours, so it's a rent for monthly use. So basically, okay. The equipment that we have with the customer is paying rent on the monthly basis. So it is a recognition and collection based on a monthly basis.
And our collection policy or disconnection policy will be the one to mention. We collect, and if we don't collect, we disconnect. It's very simple. We are, I would say, one of the most aggressive companies in terms of whoever doesn't pay is disconnected. We don't have any subscriber with more than 30, 60 days, you know, according to each of the markets that we have. When they don't pay the month, at the next month, they are disconnected. So pretty much what we receive is our revenue, so recognition is at the month that we provide this service.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Gilberto Garcia with Barclays. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. You talked in the previous earnings call about several large projects on the corporate side. And this quarter's numbers look pretty good when adjusting for the CFE project. Can you give us a little bit more color on the outlook for these projects for the rest of the year? Do you think that you could surpass your guidance for the corporate segment? Thank you.
Thank you, Gilberto. Yes, we're very happy with the results of OLA and MetroCarrier. Without the CFE project, which we have a little part of the CFE over this quarter, but it still was a very minor part. We feel that the results of OLA, which is the one affected by CFE, are great. We have an incredible growth, organic growth without the project. And also we have new projects, not at the size of the CFE, but normally OLA is a company that provides big projects for different government and big corporations. So we are really confident that we will meet our guidance on that part. We will not like to go above that, and blow the bells right now. We like to be in that line that we have. And also, Metro Carrier is doing really, really, really well. As you recall from the last earning call, we were forecasting around 60% increase just in Metro Carrier for this year. That's why we look for synergies between Ola, Metro Carrier, and MCM. And wherever we have network that either comes to the city or has some last mile of network, we are providing Metro Carrier Ola services. Like I mentioned, we increased our presence in Cancun. Now we have some of major hotels in the Cancun area on that part. We built a metro ring in that area. We increased our presence in Mexico City that we had before through MCM, and we have a residential operation in the north part of the, on the east part of the state of Mexico, which is close to the metropolitan area of Mexico City. So we tied all our fiber at a really, really low significant cost. So we can do a metro ring for corporate services in that area, and we can also start providing. So we increased our operation. We doubled the size of our offices and personnel in Mexico City that Ola used to provide 10 or 15 years ago. Now it's Ola Metro Carrier, very focused. We did the same in Monterrey, and we're looking into other cities where it makes economic sense, and we already have some presence through the technology that we have. So it is going to be a very exciting year for the corporate segment. I do recall our conference not long ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, where everything was video, broadband, telephony, and whether it was cartoon or a new channel or Televisa channels, whatever. And now we are discussing a serious competitor in the telecommunication corporate industry. And as we like to say here from the management, we are focusing being leaders in the telecommunication industry. What we are doing with the corporate segment is still within the boundaries of what we know how to do. We have the knowledge, the technology, and the people and the engineers, and the miles of kilometers of fiber. So all we're doing is taking more advantage of what we have. So wherever you go and have a corporate needs of telecommunication, you are finding right now all a Metro Carrier across most of our cities. So we're very excited on that part of that.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And, considering these positive organic results, would acquisitions be helpful to boost even more this growth, or would you, for the time being, rather concentrate on the current operations and continue with organic growth?
Well, Enrique like to talk a lot about possible acquisitions when we have one. My opinion, and from this part before letting Enrique say, is we're excited about that organic growth. We think it's the smart way to do, but of course we're not close to any opportunities that might arise in any market, whether it's residential or corporate. But I don't know, Rick, if you want to.
Well, no, it's the market in Mexico is consolidated in the pay-TV cable, basically. We still have companies out there like Total Play or Axtel, but as far as we know, they are not doing anything in consolidation so far. But we always have stated we like our balance sheet our balance sheet to be very strong, just to be ready for any opportunities that arise. We don't know whether we are going to do a consolidation in the future. We are very interested in the corporate segments. We don't think we looked at the possibility of going into the satellite pay television market, but we don't think that's our goal, to do only video. We're much more interested in bundling our service with broadband and telephony, doing a more efficient offer to the subscriber that adds more value. than only video. Like, we think that satellite services are okay, but they will be in trouble soon enough because of the not possibility of offering any other services other than linear video. So we think that corporate market is something that we're, you know, very much well into. We are being very efficient in expanding our network in that segment, and we will be you know, looking for any you know opportunities that arises in either in the residential and corporate, but more and more in corporate. You know, doing residential outside of our markets currently, it's very hard. The competition is ferocious, and also it's very hard to build a network with the capillarity that we need to provide residential services. So we're very, very focused in what we want, what we think we can do a very good business and do a very good return to our shareholders.
Okay, great. That's very clear. Thank you very much.
And once again, that's star and one to ask a question. We'll go ahead and take our next question from Tyrus Bookman with Park West. Your line is open.
Hi. I think there's been a lot of talk about guidance in different parts of this call, but I missed some of it. So I'm wondering if you can just clearly talk about what your guidance is at this point in time for the subs of the different products, the ARPUs, and EBITDA.
All right. Thank you, Tyrus, for your question. Basically, with the updated information that Raimundo shared with all of us, we are targeting a subscriber growth of 5%. That's video. On internet, we stay at the previous numbers that we had around 17%. Telephony around 19-20%. So we keep those figures for growth. In terms of EBITDA, you were asking for as well.
And ARPU.
And ARPU. All right. The ARPUs will, we are targeting ARPU to remain unique subscriber and will remain about the same with maybe a slight increase. And the ARPUs for the individual products will suffer a little bit because of the bundling of the services. So as you see, we have grown to 1.96 RTUs per subscriber, and we expect that to continue going up basically because of the growth we have in internet and telephony. So
You guys will get to on that number over the next few years? Like, what's the target?
Well, basically the target will be to surpass 2. I'm not sure exactly how far that will go, but it could go up to 2.2, 2.3. We just have to be careful on doing any expectation beyond what we have for the year, but we think that's a number that could come out as a result of the mix of the trends on both sides. I mean, on the video, internet, and also on telephony. So
and also the way to account for RGUs in the future. Right now we account for video, internet, and telephony. And telephony every day becomes more of a product bundled with internet, whether they want it or they don't want it. We don't know whether RGUs will be a set of boxes of broadband users that has an app in the future. We're not so sure about that. What we know is that the 1996 and the growth in trend will definitely surpass the 2.0 very soon and will hit, like Luis is saying, 2.2, 2.3. Probably more if we are all efficient to bundle voice with broadband and at a very, very low cost.
Got it. And so back to the guidance for revenue and EBITDA.
Right. The guidance on revenues, we expect to reach around 10% on revenues and around 12% on EBITDA. So it could be, you know, around 12, 11, 13%, and revenues as well could be 9, 10, 11, some sort of.
So that's quite an acceleration in the next three quarters.
Yes, it is.
Got it. And how do you expect to grow? I think I don't really understand how you can get video subs up 5, because that would require a lot of net additions, and you know, you haven't really done that in a while.
It does not require that much of a great net additions. What it requires from us is a much more effective retention strategy. That's where we're focused. If we were looking to get to the 5% by just providing more gross ads, what we call gross ads, what we call, there is no way we can get there. It has to be a combination, like I tried to make that clear, that is our strategy. It has to be a combination into maintaining or slightly increasing the video net ads, the gross ads. It's not that much what we need, but what we need is to recover subscriber base retention of those customers. That's where we are very, very aggressive bundling broadband with video and better prices on those subscribers. We'd rather have a subscriber that pays $349 or $449, which in terms of dollars, it is ridiculous, because you are talking about between $17 and $22 per sub. We'd rather have those customers in our belly that just going and going, looking and try to sell something that they can afford today. So it does look aggressive. I do agree with you, Tyra. But, you know, we're confident that 3.8 going down to 3.4 can be decreased in the next quarters to come. The clue will be that, you know, that we are able to retain our subscriber base on that part. I don't know if that makes sense.
Do you think churn is then, where do you expect churn to be for the year?
Churn should continue to be decreasing, and hopefully we can get to 3.1 by the end of the year. 3.1, 3.0, something like that by the end of the year.
Okay, and so it seems like the last guidance you gave was, you know, definitely too high, and that was probably clear to you pretty soon. Has this guidance been properly sort of risk-weighted, or are we going to, you know, see it come down again?
We have to see the results, how it evolves. We think are reachable right now with the changes we're doing in our policies, but we're putting all our effort in that direction. So
okay.
Basically, what we see in terms of disconnections coming from the low economic level, and once the economy, you know, starts to present a better position, I think we can turn into a positive trend.
Got it. One last request. Can you guys put the guidance going forward in the English language release? I think that would probably save you a lot of time on the conference call if you just clearly lay it out in the text.
Okay, we'll consider your suggestion, Tyra. Regarding the guidance, like you said, what we're trying to provide you is with our strategy and our goals as a company. Try to be conservative. We were conservative in the past, and this year proved to be too aggressive. That's why we lowered the guidance. Last year, our guidance for telephony was 20%, and we got above 35% in growth. So we hope not to be missing negative, hope to be positive in that part. But that's how we feel as a management and as the market. We see that if we do the right approach, we could get and meet those demands. We have no doubt in terms of broadband and telephony, and we're very confident in the massive market, which now accounts for 18%. The one that we need to improve is the sales and the quality of those subscribers in the lower economic level for video. And believe me, if we are really good into bundling broadband to the video that we have for $349, we should not have to be worried about Star TV or any other satellite companies that charge between $150 and $200 plus another $400 for telephone and internet. So in my opinion, we should be very efficient to those levels, continue to be the leader with the best market share that we have in the market, and provide you guys hopefully close or better to the numbers we're trying to reach.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Tyron.
And once again, that's star and one to ask a question.
Nope.
Okay. And we have no more questions at this time. I would like to turn the program back to Mr. Yamuni for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you. As always, it was a pleasure to discuss our results with you all and today, and to be able to review another beginning to what seems to be a very challenging but a solid year for Megacable. Nevertheless, we are confident that we are in a very strong position to face and test that come our way and continue on our path to growth. We will continue delivering good results to shareholders in the market. Thank you very much for your confidence, and thank you very much for your time. And any other questions that you may have, you know what to reach us, emails, phone numbers, whatever. Thank you very much, and have a nice day.